Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dragon's Library. So today we are talking about, like, well, our first real horror thing, unless you count The Last Graduate, for Halloween. There were a lot of things coming out, so I didn't really get a time to do, like, some kind of, like, Halloween special or whatever. But I did go see Halloween Kills, and I had, like, zero hopes for this movie, okay? I need to point that out before I say anything else. I had zero hopes for this movie. And it surprised me, and then it completely screwed it up at the end. If you want to know what that means, you gotta listen. Okay, so first let's get into this. So, for those of you who don't know, Halloween is a franchise of horror movies from the, well, actually starting in the 70s. You know, back in, like, the slasher movie was, like, a big deal. You probably know the main, like, horror monster, I guess, the serial killer. His name is Michael Myers. He's the tall, creepy guy in a white, mask. It's like, what was the name of the guy? William Shatner, that was it. William Shatner. So it's a William Shatner mask, painted white. It's a really iconic part of the franchise, and this franchise is also a freaking mess. You know, like most Halloween movies. The original intention of the Halloween films was basically an anthology series, but Michael Myers ended up becoming so popular that he basically just became the central figure of it. Basically, Michael Myers is a kid who went crazy, killed his sister upstairs in their parents' house, in her room, and was sent away to a mental institution. He did this on Halloween, and decades later, he comes back to kill a bunch of teenagers that are babysitting and, you know, continue his killing spree on Halloween again. He's a serial killer. He kills on Halloween. He usually hunts teenagers. That's basically all you need to know. Pretty simple premise. Of course, you know, nothing's ever simple. But yeah, Halloween Kills is actually a sequel to Halloween 1978 and then Halloween, the film from 2018. Now, I didn't see the film from 2018. I understand the basic plot is some psychotherapist for Michael Myers decides that he needs to, like, get some closure or something by killing his, you know, the only victim that got away from his famous 1978 slasher attack. Her name is Lori, I believe. Yeah, Lori Strode. So, you know, he drags Michael there, and the movie ends with a cop bleeding out in the park, from what I understand, and Michael, her son-in-law, dying, getting killed by Michael, but she, her daughter, and her granddaughter managed to trap Michael in their basement, who, you know, she's, like, fortified it because she's been waiting for him to come back all these years, and, you know, sets it all on fire. And that's where this movie opens up. So we open up to the characters from the previous movie driving away in a truck. Well, I'm sorry. First, we open to his original killing spree and the cop who almost you know, tried to catch him with a bunch of others. Some stuff happens, and he's like, "Did Michael kill? Did Michael kill again?" And, you know, it's his big old arrest from back in his first killing spree, I think. So after that, we, like, flash forward to the end of the previous movie, Halloween 2018, where Lori is screaming, "Don't go! Let it burn! Let it burn!" Because as they're driving away, they see a bunch of fire trucks heading towards Michael. And what happens is, you know, pretty obvious, since this is a sequel to that movie. Obviously, they save him from the fire, and he kills all the firefighters. Meanwhile, Lori is driven to the hospital and, you know, gets stitches because she got stabbed. And from there, you get basically a pretty standard Michael Myers, you know, going from house to house, murdering people. It's pretty decent for the most part, except for the ending. And this is a minor spoiler, although I'm not going to tell anything about the ending. I will just say that the ending is one of the worst endings to a movie I have ever seen. Like, literally, if you were to take out the last 5 minutes of this movie and just show it to me without those 5 minutes, I would say this is a pretty decent movie that I would probably rank among some of the better, you know, horror movies, or at least slasher movies I've seen. It's pretty good. They capture that same original terror of him in the first movie, I think. They do a pretty good job of that, and they even play on some new themes, which is really rare for series like this. But it just all falls apart at the end. Now, I'm not going to say anything more about the ending other than I absolutely hate it. I'll leave that for my spoiler talk. Let's go into the rest of it. So we get actually a bunch of... I'm not sure if there... Are there returning people for... Yeah, so there are a bunch of people who return to reprise their roles from the previous film, from the older films. And let's see, I think, I'm not sure if it's the actual actors who played it, but basically there are a bunch of characters from that first, you know, Michael Myers' other surviving victims, aside from Laurie, you know, the kid who was being babysat, the girl who saw, you know, the boy who was trick-or-treating and, you know, barely survived, you know, curl up on the ground and he disappeared, the cops saved him, that kind of thing. And everybody is like, basically it's Halloween, there are a bunch of new characters doing, you know, just enjoying the night, but at a random bar, unknown to the fact that Laurie's been attacked again, a bunch of old survivors are, you know, commemorating on the horror, tragedy, you know, moment of silence, that kind of thing. Meanwhile, back at the hospital, everybody's panicking because Michael's back. But everybody, you know, assumes he died because they didn't see the firefighter save him. Before he killed him, honestly. I mean, of course, yes, he killed him immediately. He's a serial killer. And you know what? The first part of the movie is pretty good. It's mostly just Michael going from house to house, killing people, you know, creepy, I'm going to appear behind you, kill you. He gets creative, uses some new environmental kills, that kind of thing. Which, you know, that's what you want from your slasher movie. Obviously, people start becoming aware that people are dying, that Michael's back, that he didn't die in the fire, and the entire town goes into panic mode. Cue movie. I have to say, most of the actors are pretty good. I mean, again, it's a you know, it's a Halloween, it's not exactly a masterpiece or anything like that. They're not going for, like, the best, you know, actor of the year or whatever, thing like that. They're not going to get an Oscar for this. But it's good, you know? It's classic horror movie, people making stupid choices. I love how some of the people seem to be aware they're making stupid choices by the time they get to the part where they were like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Because, you know, usually they're, like, idiots all the way up to the end, but here they have a bit of self-awareness where they realize, oh, shoot, what was I thinking? And one of the things I really do like is they play around more with the mob mentality reaction of everyone trying to get vengeance on him and how that could be a bit more of a corrupting influence. The town goes a little crazy and things kind of spiral out of control even without Michael being present for a lot of it, which is pretty interesting. They played a lot with the idea of what fear inspires others to do, what causes more fear, the mark that that a tragedy like this can leave on a town and how it can change the reactions of the people within it, which was all really interesting. One of the things I was less impressed by was the fact that, like, they introduced a bunch of, like, new characters and even give them names and backgrounds literally just to kill them. Like, we meet this, like, couple who's, like, a nurse and a doctor and this gay couple who's living in Michael's home, and they're literally just death fodder. Like, we get a bit of background on them, we learn a little bit about them, and then they just die. And it's just, I don't know, just seemed a little pointless. Like, why? You know. I guess it's, like, fine, you're not going to let most people... I mean, most people don't get a happy ending. It's a horror movie, but still. That's one little critique I have. I don't really enjoy people bringing in, like, characters. I don't like them developing characters only to kill them off, like, pretty, like, disposably. You know, make it a bigger deal. Aside from that, it's basically pretty good. I mean, this isn't a movie that requires a lot of special effects. The fire scene is pretty good. I actually really like when Michael fights the firefighters. I think it's a pretty cool scene. I like how, unlike in the older movies where we see things from Michael's perspective, a lot of times we see things from his victim's perspective as he's killing them. I think it's a pretty cool twist on the old movie style that gives this movie a bit of its own unique identity. Aside from that, I like how Michael gets demasked a few times, but you never really see him. He's, like, Michael Myers at first was just, you know, a crazy serial killer. But as time has gone on, he's proven, like, basically indestructible. Like, he's been shot, burned, stabbed, set on fire, the works. Like, this guy will not die. He just does not die. He keeps going. He's basically a giant tank with a bit of super strength. He's not invincible. Like, he's a human being. You keep hitting him, he's gonna keep going down. But chances are, eventually, he's going to catch your bat and start stabbing. Which is interesting. I do like it. I've always kind of thought the what they did with Michael Myers over time, where he basically became this unstoppable juggernaut that just walks through, walks up to you as you're batting him away and slowly stabs you in, through the neck, is pretty terrifying in its own right. He's pretty much unstoppable. Which, again, horror movie monster. Of course he is. But yeah. Michael Myers definitely has his old mystique. I was actually really worried they were going to try and, like, unmask him or give him some big pass thing. Or it's like, no, they stick basically to the same story. He's just doing his more killing because he's still alive. And that's all he does is try and kill, kill, kill. Aside from that, I think the interplay between Laurie, her daughter, and her granddaughter are all, is all interesting. Like, the granddaughter wants revenge for the father. The daughter just wants everybody to stay safe. The grandmother is, you know, kind of in the dark part of the movie and really, really, really wants Michael dead when she knows. So that's all very interesting. There isn't really much else to say. I mean, usually I'd get into, like, effects or productions. Like I said, the ending is terrible. I'll talk about it in spoilers because I don't want to spoil anything. But aside from that, I can't really talk about much else without spoilers, so let's go to spoilers. Okay, so since we're in spoilers, I'm going to jump straight to the ending. And the reason I'm doing this is because I freaking hate this ending so much. Like, words cannot describe how much I loathe this ending. So this was a pretty good movie, overall. Most of the movie basically went around the whole, the town being whipped up into a panic. Like, once everybody finds out Michael Myers is, back on killing people again, which I really like the way that worked. It spreads from a few texts from the hotel, and then you see the bar where people are just, like, grabbing their phones, like, ding, 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 ding. The whole bar, and everybody starts freaking out, and they have to run home, and the rest of them are going to the hospital to find out what's going on, and oh my god, Michael's back. No. Evil dies tonight. We're gonna freaking kill him. We are sick of living in fear. And one of the old survivors whips everybody in the hospital up into a frenzied mob, which the sheriffs, instead of going to confront Michael Myers, now have to spend all their time dealing with this giant mob that's running through the hospital, tripping over patients, making it impossible for all the people that are, you know, severely injured from Michael Myers stabbing them to get medical aid. And then when they see somebody in insane asylum outfit, which turns out to just be an innocent, another escapee from the bus crash who was just, you know, somebody mentally ill who didn't deserve to die from what we understand. We don't think he killed anyone. He might have just been somebody with a severe mental illness who needed actual help. But he gets really panicked and terrified and starts running away. And even when Lori and her daughter try and tell them that it's not them, the mob has already been whipped into a frenzy at this point. They're not going to stop. So eventually, running away from them, he just jumps off a ledge and kills himself. And everyone just gets a moment to realize that they drove an innocent man to commit suicide because they were so consumed with this desire to kill evil. And realizing that, you know, suddenly realizing that they've been stopping people from getting treatment, that a lot of people have been hurt in the chaos, the police haven't been able to go stop him. Basically, they enabled Michael's rampage in this movie. Which is a very interesting thing. In fact, near the end, they have this little voiceover by Laurie who talks about how his fear will always mark this town. And no matter what we do, this place will never be the same. It's been tainted by Michael Myers and all that he has done, and all that he has done to us, and all that we have done in turn. And it's like, okay, that's actually really interesting. The idea that Michael Myers was so, what he did was so traumatic for the town as a whole, that just him coming back has actually done more damage than him actually even killing anyone when he came back. Because the town's own fear and anxiety caused them to basically become complicit in it. Which is actually a very interesting message on the whole sensationalization of serial killers and all that stuff. Which, you know, points to this movie for doing that. I actually did not expect it, and it was very cool. This is also, all this whole subplot is interspersed with Michael going from house to house killing people. A few people did break off for the hospital to go hunt him down in town, along with the daughter who runs away with this other guy who survived Michael. I think it was a kid who ran into him while he was trick-or-treating, and his son. Yeah, he brings his, one of his best friends and a fellow survivor of the serial killer, his, you know, son. He brings his son and Lori's daughter, or not girl daughter, her granddaughter, to go hunt down the psycho serial killer that the entire town is scared shitless of. Which I just think is, what the heck? And it's hilarious, too. Like, You know in a horror movie, you're screaming, you know, why are you being morons? Why are you being morons? Well, one of the other vans of people gets, like, completely taken out by Michael, because of course they freaking do, with only, like, one survivor. And the other guy, you know, finds her, the kids and this guy find her. They figure out Michael's heading towards his childhood home, because, spoiler alert, he doesn't really care about Lori. He just cares about killing people and staring out the window blankly. Go figure. Michael's not exactly a complex character. He's kind of just a murder machine that wants to get back to his window so he can stare and murder. But, yeah. And what happens is, right as he gets to the house where he knows Michael, because the couple who were, you know, living in his old house, he kills them, of course, brutally. They have this weird thing of calling Little John and Big John, because they're both John, so they call themselves Little John and Big John. And it was just a little weird. Like, I felt like there's more, like, were they supposed to get, like, a few more scenes to explain why they were important? Like, they tell a bunch of kids, Michael, you know, this is the house of Mike, this house used to belong to Michael Myers, and how dare you steal from us on Halloween? But, like, it feels like they had a bit more importance in one draft. I'd be interested to find out, like, what the deal was. Because, honestly, they could have just been some random people who got killed there. Like, they didn't need to have all these extra scenes interspersed throughout the movie. Not really sure why they did. Like, you know, they still got killed off to, like, disposable background characters, just like that other couple who got killed really early on, the really old couple. So I'm not really sure what the deal was there. Maybe there was some cut content or whatever. There's a lot of weird stuff here. I blame it on the ending. I really blame it on the ending. I hate the ending. So I'll get there. Anyway, the dad reaches the house, and, like, right before he goes inside, he realizes, oh, wait, I just brought my son and, like, one of my best friend's daughters, granddaughter, to go, you know, to the house where a murderer, the same guy who's been steering me shit list for the last few years, is probably lying. Can't stay in the car. Okay, I just have one question to every parent in any movie ever. When has the phrase, kids, stay in the car, ever worked? No, like, seriously, name to me a single movie where kids stay in the car and the kids actually listened and stayed in the car. Because every time you say kids stay in the car in a movie, you're basically saying, okay, so the kids are going to leave the car. And of course they do. They hear one gunshot. The guy goes in. He's in there for like a few seconds before there's a gunshot, which is not really how Michael Myers hunts. So, you know, a little weird. And, you know, of course the kids go in, the son dies very brutally. Michael, like, jabs him breaks the railing, uses it to, like, pierce his throat. It's all very brutal. And then he snaps his neck because he's still gasping for a breath he barely can take. And Michael just casually snaps his neck. The granddaughter is lying there on the floor, all beat up after Michael wrecked them, you know, because they had a shotgun and she saw one dead body, so she let go of the shotgun to go look at him. It's like, keep the shotgun in your hands, lady. You're hunting a serial killer. An inhumanly powerful serial killer that just killed your dad, and you saw when he tanked a fire to the face. Like, God, horror movie characters make the dumbest choices. So anyway, the mom ends up luring him away by taking his knife, pitchforking him in the back, taking his mask and running away to lead him to the mob, who are now trying to, like, redeem themselves and finally destroy the actual evil, because they finally gotten over their own BS. And there's actually a pretty cool shot. Like, everyone's, like, working together. As soon as Michael tries to go for one person, three other people will start clubbing or shooting him. There's one guy with a pistol who's working from a range, which is all, like, very, okay, so they're actually taking this seriously, doing this intelligently. And as they're killing her, the mom walks away to go to her daughter, and they, you know, it looks like they've killed Michael Myers. Yeah, it actually looks like that for a second. That's how the scene's shot. It's not even, like, a fake-out scene. It actually does look like they've actually done him in, finally, and they're about to chop his head off. You know, they back off for a little bit to go get ready to chop his head off, it looks like, or, you know, put him down permanently. And Lori starts talking about what I said earlier about how his evil will always haunt the town. And then there is, like, a switch that's thrown in this movie. So it cuts to, Lori's little speech is finishing up. It cuts to the mom, and she sees the dead sister of Michael Myers in the window, you know, her ghost or whatever. And so she slowly walks up there. All the sound gets, like, muted. And as she walks up to go stare out the window, there's suddenly, like, this slow-mo flash cut to Michael Myers as he gets up very, very slowly, I might add. And everyone around him does nothing. And then he starts, like, walking up and killing them in slow-mo, which just kind of looks silly. Like, they weren't even fighting back. Like, the guy with the gun charges at him and Michael just stabs him in the gut. It's like all that teamwork, all the plan just fell apart because Michael gained, like, slow-mo bullet time or something, which was dumb and ridiculous. And remember, at the base of the house, there's, like, a bunch of paramedics, a bunch of other people looking to help anyone who's, you know, still alive, trying to get their bodies. There's, like, a huge crowd of people down there. And the mom is upstairs staring out the window. It's a few blocks away past some houses, so she can't see where all the people were. But she should be able to see the street below. But all of a sudden, after the, you know, this is in, cut in between the slow-mo, and then all of a sudden the slow-mo cutting, he's killed all the people in the mob, and then all of a sudden it cuts back to Lori's daughter, and flash, Michael Myers is behind you, because he somehow got past everyone in below in the house, and you didn't hear any of them scream, you didn't see him coming, you're literally looking out the window at the street, like, and then cut to black, and I'm like, what the heck? I thought the whole thing was Michael is dead, but even though he's dead, his curse will forever haunt this town. Like, Halloween kills. We killed people on Halloween, not just Michael. Like, I thought that was the whole point of the movie. They even had, like, a whole speech that basically said, yeah, this is the point of the movie. You know, that big, this is all the themes coming together. This is what everything meant. As the survivor of all these movies in the current canon talks about, you know, what everything has happened and how we can never be redeemed from it. And then it just, like, undoes all of it. Michael's no longer dead. Everyone who is a monster dies a, well, you know, stupid death, but still. The granddaughter who put up a heroic showing and, you know, who the mom did all that to save and risked death by Michael Myers, finally facing the fear she didn't want to admit to, is unceremoniously killed off screen. She was a major character throughout this whole movie. And that's it. Like, apparently the daughter dies, and only Lori and that cop that got shot in the prologue, and, you know, is now all grown up and got hurt while he's trying to stop Michael again, is still alive. Like, only they're still alive. They're the only two named or even characters with any decent amount of screen time that are still alive at the end of this. And Michael has just killed, like, half the town at this point. I mean, that mob was huge. And all the people below at the house and all the people he killed previously, he must have killed at least a fourth of that town, if not more. In, like, one night, too. It's, like, absurd. And I'm like, what the hell happened here? It's like they had a really good, solid, you know, standalone end for the series movie. And they just threw it away for, yeah, we want a sequel. And I actually looked this up. So apparently, originally, they were going to... they were going to have two films shot back-to-back, like, at the same time, and Halloween Kills was going to be the first one. But they didn't know, they decided to wait to see the reaction of the film. And hearing that, it makes so much sense, because this ending feels like it was tacked on to add the possibility of a sequel where you get Lori and the cop go fight Michael. But I'm like, what's the point? He's killed, like, a fourth to a half of the town at this point. Who cares if he dies? Like, he's won. He won. They're all dead. The only people Lori cared about, the reason she did all this, you know, crazy survival stuff in that other movie, they're all dead. The husband died in that movie. All her friends and all the fellow survivors died. The only other one is a cop, and he's, you know, probably gonna die in the next movie, let's be real here, along with Lori. And her daughter died, her granddaughter probably didn't even survive because she was downstairs, so if the mom died, she definitely died, unless she, you know, got away off screen. We don't know. What was the point? Like, I don't know. It felt like the movie was actually trying to have a deeper message, and then it just, like, walked back on it so we could have a sequel arc. And I'm just like, that's dumb. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. So, I guess Halloween Ends is scheduled to be released on October in 2022, and I just do not care. Like, what is the point? You already did Halloween Kills, and you're like, oh, you're gonna kill him. No, we're not. We're gonna end it. No, we're not. It's a profitable franchise. You're not gonna end it. Who cares at this point? Like, I don't know. I feel like if I had just gone into this and it had been another thing of them fighting Michael Myers and he got locked up in the insane asylum, you know, Batman Joker style, I don't think I would have cared as much. Like, I would have been like, okay, so yeah, so Halloween killed a bunch of people. It's like, it's just a title. But when they tried to make the title actually mean something, you know, that they were finally going to kill him, but Halloween itself will forever be marked by this bloody, bloody killer night. It seemed like they were trying to make the movie mean something, and walking back for something as pathetic as a sequel hook is just dumb. I'm sorry. It is just dumb. So, enjoy the movie up until that ending. Enjoy the, you know, the kills if you want. They're pretty creative. Michael's a badass like usual. But all in all, this is a disappointment. And the sad thing was, I was actually thinking I was going to recommend this up until that ending. Aside from that, this is made by Blumhouse, actually. I just found that out a little while ago. And I actually like Blumhouse. They do a lot of good stuff. I don't think this is their best thing. I really, really think they should not have made a sequel to this. I think they should have just made this as a one-shot movie. Or they should have saved this plot line for the next movie. Maybe had Michael hunting them down before they get to the hospital, and then you know, Halloween ends, you can have this big old plot line. I think that would have been more interesting. I'm probably going to see Halloween Ends, just because there will be something to see next October for the podcast, but I have, like, negative 1,000 hope for that. Like, less than zero. Less than no hope. Maybe I didn't get it. Maybe other people will like it. Like I said, if you're just looking for a dumb Halloween, you know, a dumb, scary Halloween movie with a serial killer, this will do. This will do pretty well. I personally dislike the ending because I actually care about, you know, plot structure. But if you're just looking for a fun horror movie, this has some decent scares. It has some decent, you know, it has some decent kill animations. You get to see characters make some really dumb decisions and then immediately die for them. So if you're into all that, check it out. If you think you're going to be disappointed by this ending, maybe give it a pass till it's on streaming. It'll probably be on Peacock, I believe, in like 60 days or something like that. Anyway, next time, we're going to be talking about Dune, the new movie's coming out. So, if you haven't seen it yet, I recently posted a review of the old Dune movie and the Dune book by Frank Herbert. So, if you want to catch up on that before the new movie comes out, go ahead and check it out. See you guys next time.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode, and thank you for listening to the Dragon's Library. Please subscribe to this podcast to be notified of new episodes. The Dragon's Library releases new episodes Tuesday and Friday each week, and you can follow us on Twitter at dragon_library2. If you want to suggest an episode topic, my email is in the description below. And as always, thank you so much for all your support.